Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by my two cohorts in crime, Chris Woodward and Steve Jordahl.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, am I now part of the mob?
I didn't say mob, okay?
We don't have cohorts in crime.
We don't have to go directly to the mafia reference, okay? By the way, nice shirt.
Thank you.
It's not Paisley.
No, it's my Madagascar shirt.
This is Madagascar. Is it made in Madagascar?
It was made in Madagascar, where I grew up as a missionary kid, and I found it.
Learned how to speak French.
Yeah.
Oui, oui.
Si, please, huh? And I.
It's nice. It's a nice shirt.
It's a floral pattern. Yeah. Got it at Men's Warehouse.
You, on the other hand, Chris, you're decked out in Mississippi plaid.
Yes. This was a gift from my mom.
There's such a thing as Mississippi plaid?
I don't know. I'm just in Italian black. That's
what I'm
in.
This was not made in Madagascar. I'm going to go with Asia.
Somewhere in Asia.
Like the rest of us.
All right. Well, Chris, I think for this first, you guys are both on for the entire 90 minutes.
Yes.
And so I think we're just going to take turns. You're going to, for the first hour, going to toss the news stories out. All three of us will discuss them. And then for the final segment of the show, Steve, you'll do that.
Yeah.
And we will discuss the news of the day. And there are tons of things happening.
Yes.
Chris, go ahead and get us started.
Yeah, we could do a ton of things here as far as leads. But let's begin with political news. Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, who is not an official candidate for president of these United States of America, sure continues to act like a candidate for president because DeSantis, you know, he's been traveling around and speaking in different states.
Right.
Now he's actually overseas and meeting with various world leaders to talk about things. He's been in Japan, where I'll begin with some audio here. This is Governor Ron DeSantis talking about Florida and its business practices and why it's a good trading partner for the nation of Japan. Clip one.
Florida is the fastest growing state in the United States. We have people migrating from other states into Florida. Our economy is over $1.2 trillion, which would be 13th in the world if we were our own country. So there's a lot of economic opportunities, and we know that Japan has some of the best companies that have ever existed in business.
So Governor Ron DeSantis in Japan, talking about Florida. He's actually possibly meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel later this week. That's according to a Politico article. So that's a big story there, big step for somebody who admitted in Japan, I'm not an official candidate for president yet, but we'll see. He sure is acting like one.
Well, Steve, I didn't realize Florida's economy was that large.
Oh,
13th. I mean, it was big, but 13th, if it was a country, it would be 13th in the world. And so.
And that probably trails California, just to, as
and
far
probably
as
Texas.
Size.
Maybe Texas. Maybe yeah. Texas. I don't know. But this is, for both of you guys, either one of you can jump in here. This is fairly typical behavior by someone who is running for president. Now, technically, Ron DeSantis hasn't announced yet. Our understanding is that he will announce when the legislative session is over in Florida. By the way, do either of you know Ron DeSantis, the legislature has to give a kind of a temporary, has to give temporary permission, doesn't it, for the governor to run for president and not do focus on his duties as governor?
We got into that last week on the show, so we have discussed that before. I've not looked it up to confirm that, but states do things differently, so it is very possible, perhaps even likely, that Florida does have to grant its governor permission to do something like that. I will say they have a Republican lieutenant governor who would presumably step up and assume command should Governor DeSantis have to step aside temporarily to run.
But it's not unusual for somebody who has not been in a prominent place in the public eye to make these kinds of trips. So Governor Ron DeSantis has been in the public eye to some degree, but not like a well-known senator or a someone who has been, like former President Trump, who has all kinds of name recognition. you, on the one hand, try to get your name into the public eye a little bit more on a national platform, national stage, but also you want to give the impression that, hey, I know about foreign policy. Mm-hmm. Because if you're a governor of a state, even a large, apparently large economic powerhouse like Florida, you're not known. You haven't had foreign policy experience, so you've got to try to make that case by saying, "Hey, I've been places."
One thing he does have on his resume is time served as a congressman for the state of Florida. So he has done some sort of international work, sort of, as a representative of Florida there beyond his time as governor. He was represented a few times to represent his home district as a congressman. Because you mentioned Trump here, former President Trump, who is already an official candidate for president again come 2024, he's not willing to let Ron DeSantis get some of the attention out there. And so Trump has done his best to campaign against him and Joe Biden and other people, assuming they do run officially in 2024. I've got some audio here of Donald Trump, and it's things that we've heard before, but he's saying, look, you know, I made DeSantis, and I can mention some other things that Trump is quoted as saying as well. But let's hear what Trump has to say about his potential rival for the Republican nomination, clip two.
In Florida, I got 1.2 million more votes than your successful governor's campaign. You know that. We got 1.2 million. Sir, I'd love to have your support, sir. I'd love to have your support. I'm down at about three. I'd love to have your support. All right, let's think about it. Then there was like a rocket ship after I gave it. Otherwise, right now, you'd have a lawyer someplace looking for business. If that.
What's interesting there is that joke at the very end, in my opinion, kind of fell flat. It didn't. It was like the... But, you know, nonetheless, Trump is doing his best to try to tell people, hey, ahead of time, don't believe everything you hear from Ron, or de sanctimonious, as President Trump likes
well,
to call.
And Steve, if you're the former president, you have already been overseas many times, negotiated treaties, the Abraham Accords in the Middle East, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, all those kinds of things. So I can see where the governor, Ron DeSantis, would want to try to bolster his resume, but Trump, obviously, as a former president, is going to have a laundry list of accomplishments when it comes to foreign policy.
Yeah, but that's not the only laundry list he's going to have. And the old adage, it's the economy, stupid, is still going to trump most of, well, Trump, most of other issues. So the Florida economy, as we have been saying, is doing really good. And for some reason, Donald Trump seems to be really fixated on, I mean, he does. He has a list of things he could run on. As qualifications and things, without even mentioning Ron DeSantis, but he seems a little bit taken with Ron DeSantis. Just to circle back to what we were talking about before, currently, at least as of March 31st, which is the article I pulled up, Florida law says any officer who qualifies for federal public office must resign from the office he or she presently holds if the terms or any thereof, part thereof, run concurrently with each other. The resignation is irrevocable.
Yeah.
So they can't lose and then come back. Now, that bill, the legislature is trying to change that. The bill went to committee on April 4th. I don't know where it's at unless you have an update there, Chris.
I don't, but I have shared a link to something what you're talking about there. We say, to Ed's point about the Florida legislature having to do things to allow a governor to run for POTUS, and we shared a link there to WESH there in the great state of Florida.
So all that, if the legislature legislative session ends sometime in May, which is what we've been hearing all along, that's when DeSantis will announce that he's running for president, then this special pass, if you would, this special dispensation for the current sitting governor would have to be passed by then.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's where it lies. I mean, if let's say the legislature can't get that done. Let me start with you, Chris, and go to you, Steve. If the legislature can't get that done in time, and the current law is that the governor, Governor Ron DeSantis, would have to step down. He'd have to resign, basically, as governor, and it would be irreversible. Mm-hmm. Do you think he still runs? I'll start with you, Chris.
I would say yes, because why have you been touring the world to talk up your policies, things that you have accomplished during your time as governor, and why would you be traveling to places like Japan and Israel to talk with people? So I would say yes. It's probably not a matter of if, but when he announces.
What do you think, Steve?
I have a hard time believing that he doesn't have a good enough finger on the pulse of his legislature, if not the ability to sway his legislature, that there's not really much of a doubt in his mind of whether it's going to happen or not. Mm. So I have a feeling it's going to.
I think Governor DeSantis thinks it's his moment. When was he was elected first in 2018?
2018, and then he was just
re-elected in 2022.
Correct.
4 years, that means, because you're locked now. I mean, he can't run for governor again.
It'd be 2028 before he could run, should he want to run
for president. Mm-hmm. So he would be out of office as governor for 2 years. What I'm saying is, re-elected in 2022, mm-hmm. four-year term goes to 2026. If he were to decide, I think I'll wait for the next presidential race.
Yeah.
That would be 2028. He'd be out as governor in 2026. I don't know if he would want to wait 2 years. You're not really doing anything. You're not in the public eye. Anyway, I think both of your points are well taken.
Yeah.
I think he is making these trips overseas because he is running. And to your point, Steve, yeah. I think he probably has a good idea of whether or not he'll get that permission from the legislature.
Well, there is some sort of precedent now, if you can call it that, for somebody launching a campaign well in advance. Donald Trump announced in 2022, hey, I'm going to run for president in 2024.
Well,
so it wouldn't be the first time somebody entered 2 years.
That's true, but he has worldwide name recognition, and that's...
He's huge.
Yes.
I would, if he waits, whether he waits or not, I'm going to say right now, put my marker down, that under any circumstance, Ron DeSantis will be running for president in 2028.
Oh,
I say that
either way.
Well, if he loses this primary, he'll be back. If he wins his primary, loses the election, he'll be back. And if he's running, if he's a sitting president, of course he'll be back. So
yeah. All right. Well, we'll wait and see. We do know there are three mm-hmm. certain Republicans running. Tim Scott has an exploratory committee.
Correct.
Okay. And so we'll wait to see if there's a fourth here in May. Now, on the Democratic side, there is, of course, we don't know about Biden.
He's
said that he would if his health allows, so on and so forth. There's Marianne Williamson, and then somebody last week.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yes, RFK Jr. That was an absolute... That wasn't exploratory. Right?
No,
that's an announcement.
I'm really doing this. Kind of following in the steps of his uncle Teddy, yep. Who tried to primary a sitting president in 1980, and didn't succeed at that.
It was Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. Talking about sticking with Democrats for a second, President Biden is expected to announce his reelection bid tomorrow. But here's where it gets interesting, Ed. It's going to be a pre-taped video remark. He's not going to do something live in Scranton or at his home state of Delaware. He's going to have a pre-taped remark, possibly in the White House basement, to announce that he's going to run again, so that way they can tell him what to say and how to say it. And I'm sure it's going to have a lot of emotion to it. But
before you go on that, that's actually kind of smart. I mean, if you're running the Biden ship. Okay, first of all, you're trying to get off that coral reef that he's stuck on, all right? You do not want him making a live announcement and then flubbing it.
That's true.
Because then his announcement that he's running will remind people of the concerns that they currently have. So just in terms of shrewdness, they're probably doing
the right thing. Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I've said it before on the show. It won't be the last time I say it. Democrats run to win, and so they find ways to make it work so that way they can avoid disaster. But speaking of disaster, many people, it turns out, don't want Joe Biden to run for president again. I have an Associated Press poll that came out Friday, and only 47% of Democrats, 47% of Democrats think Biden should run again in 2024. Overall, just 26% of Americans want Biden to run. So this guy may face a bigger uphill battle than some of the people running for president that are not already in office.
And Steve, if I'm not mistaken, that same poll showed that if it wasn't the same poll that came out last week as well, that's like 74% of people think the country's headed in the wrong direction.
Yeah,
right? That's a large chunk of people. And as Tim has said numerous times on the air, it is unfortunate that, or just the way it is, that sitting presidents get too much credit when things are going well and too much blame when things are going poorly. That's generally true. I would say in the case of this specific president, President Biden, it seems to me pretty clear that he is responsible, more than maybe anybody I can remember in recent memory, more responsible for the horrible economy we have, a lot of the just detrimental, devastating policies he's tried to institute that could do serious long-term damage to our energy sector, for example. But 74%, that's a pretty big chunk of people.
Again, is the economy stupid? And I guess that all depends on whether you think he's actually calling those shots, whether he's responsible or not.
True.
But, there's a lot of negative indicators in the economy and the foreign policy and any number of different measurements. And folks out there, I got to tell you, pay attention, because if you're only having one news source, unless it's AFN, American Family News, then you're probably not getting the whole story, because the mainstream media kind of hides a little bit of the deficit that Joe Biden has right now.
All right. Well, since you mentioned American Family News,
yes,
do a little pitch to our listeners, because we want to encourage them to get signed up for American Family News.
Absolutely. American Family News, AFN.net. And there you can sign up for a daily newsletter. It'll only come once a day. It'll have our top headlines, and we will not shop your name around to anybody else. It's ours alone. And also, you can take part. This is kind of fun. You can take part in polls. We put a poll up pretty much every day of what our listeners think or readers think about certain issues, and they can do that. So we really do try to cover the gamut of news, and we do it from a biblical perspective. So it's a great place to go to get that point of view. Got some incredible journalists working.
And when they click through, they get that email with the list of top stories. If you click through and you go to the AFN site,
yeah,
there are all sorts of other videos and other stories that you can kind of browse around.
We have AP headlines. We have videos, I think, from the Associated Press as well, that you can watch. They cover. We will put up things there that cover anything from, you know, policies that we're interested in. We had a whole lot of stuff about the train derailments a while back. So it's all news that's fit to read that we think is important.
All right, good. Thank you for that. All right, Chris.
Speaking of the mainstream media, it's no secret that they often do PR work for the Democratic Party.
You think?
Yeah, someone just said, no, really? here I'm going to set this up. Somebody that's saying as much is Senator Lindsey Graham, a Republican from South Carolina. He was on CNN over the weekend to talk about abortion and Roe v. Wade, things like that, with CNN's Dana Bash. And she tried to correct him at one point, to which he said, stop covering for Democrats. Clip 4.
Only North Korea and China allow abortion on demand up to the moment of birth, except the Democratic Party. What the Democratic Party proposes on abortion is barbaric. Abortion up to the moment of birth, taxpayer-funded, I think is barbaric. I welcome this debate.
Well,
I think the Republican Party will be in good standing to oppose late-term abortion like most of the civilized world.
Just for the record, Roe went up to viability, but I just want to button this up.
Quit covering for these guys. No, your media, you keep covering for these guys. They introduced legislation that allowed abortion on demand with taxpayer-funded, you paying for it, the taxpayer, up to the moment of birth. That was their position in Washington. That's the law they want to pass, and nobody in your business will talk about it.
I don't know about you guys, but his last day on CNN was glorious,
wasn't it?
And he's absolutely true in his presentation of the fact of the matter, and Dana Bash. she did try to cover Steve for the Democrats by pointing to what Roe versus Wade had said, but the Democrats have long supported abortion rights up to the moment of birth. Many of them included partial birth abortion in their position.
Yeah, and their bills could be construed to say even after live birth.
Infanticide.
Yeah. It's true. She's got a point that the media will not report it correctly. So let me ask you guys, is abortion a winning message for Republicans going into 2024?
That's a great question. My perspective is twofold. First of all, it is always the right thing to do to stand up for the unborn. Okay, always right in God's eyes to stand up for the unborn. But that's not what you asked. Okay, what you asked is it a winning message? And I think that the country, in large portions of it, especially blue states, the country is unsure of its own position. I don't think most Americans like partial birth abortion, certainly don't like infanticide. They also want exceptions for rape, incest, the life of the mother. And also, I think, and then Chris, I'll turn it over to you, I think in blue states and blue cities, it is an issue that will drive progressives, especially young people, to the polls. So I'm not sure it's a winning issue in terms of the politics of it. But it's always right to defend the unborn in God's eyes. And Lindsey Graham and others have to. I mean, they have to go. And Ron DeSantis, governor, former President Trump, you know, kept his promises to put pro-life justices on the Supreme Court and throughout the federal judiciary. So this is, I think this will be a divider when it comes to voting, especially if the voting public believes the Republicans are going to continue to push on abortion. But this is kind of what we asked for. We asked for state-by-state battles, and that's where it's headed.
It is a winning issue, but I would say that Republicans need to be better communicators about this and other issues. The reason I say that is because going into the 2022 midterms, it looked like it was going to be this red wave.
Right.
Republicans were just going to sweep everything, and I think they kind of just figured they were just going to ease their way into November. But as we saw, Democrats were upset about things, including the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade. So I think Republicans that are running for office, be it president, Senate, House, what have you, in 2024, need to be better communicators to the public as to why they have voted this way, as to why it matters that you vote for life, to better explain to people why it is that life matters, why it is that we need to have babies and drive up our population and not have to rely on immigration like Canada and other countries do, to be better explainers to people and to defend the liberals out there so that Lindsey Graham and a handful of other people that we do truck into the show aren't the only people out there saying that.
Right. All right. We are going to take a short break and a couple of spots that you'll hear, and we will be right back for more of today's issues covering the news of the day, both in our country and around the world. And as Steve mentioned, from a Christian perspective that you get in very few other places. So please stay tuned. We will return. You're listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. We'll be back in about 3 minutes.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes. Stand by for news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Democrats in the House and Senate have introduced legislation that would make it harder to deport illegal aliens who are gay. It's called the Dignity for Detained Immigrants Act. In essence, it would ban Border Patrol from holding any illegals who are gay, lesbian, or transgender. It would also forbid the arrest of any illegals who do not speak English, which would be most of the people crossing the border. Senator Cory Booker, the Democrat from New Jersey, said we have to respect and protect the basic rights of illegals detained on American soil. Well, what about protecting and respecting American sovereignty or the rights of law-abiding American citizens? This is a great example of the Biden administration's America Last policy, and it's high time to start putting American-born taxpayers first instead of gender-fluid, pronoun-confused illegals who can't even speak the King's English. I'm Todd Starnes.
Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24.
American Family Radio.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Chris Woodward and Steve Jordahl. Folks, I just want to remind you, if you've tuned in for the first time here to today's issues, there are two ways for you to watch us do this program. That's right. We do have a live video stream. You can access it by going to Facebook Live and searching for today's issues and clicking through. Or you can go to our own streaming platform, streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. There's lots of great video content there on our streaming platform that you can access by simply signing up with a name and an email address. But also, for most of our talk radio programs, you can watch the live stream video. If you like to do that, watch radio shows being done on video, you can do that. Other ways of accessing the program, download the app onto your smartphone or other portable device, or you can go to AFR.net. AFR.net has not only the live audio stream of all our programming, but you can also look at the drop-down menu for podcasts and get access to the audio of all our radio programming. In the past, if you missed a particular program, so a number of ways that you can join us and get the great content that it is our privilege to present to our listening audience. All right, Chris, go ahead.
Well, I've got some interesting audio from a couple of Democratic mayors that are often making headlines for being soft on crime, for being for criminal justice reform to the point that you slap people on the wrist and let them back out in jail. Late last week, mayors including Chicago outgoing mayor Lori Lightfoot and New York City Mayor Eric Adams, they were in D.C., where they talked up the importance of fighting crime and backing cops. Clip five.
If we say, yeah, the police department is spending all this time and resources to arrest, put a case on, and then the judges and the prosecutors say, you know what, we're going to let you out on electronic monitoring to wreak havoc again. If somebody musters the courage to come forward and identify the person who had just shot up their neighborhood and then sees Pookie walking bold as day back on the street 2 days later, what does that say to them?
We can't just allow our law enforcement agencies to decrease because we know what the consequences of that are going to be.
We got about 2,000. They get out on Monday. They doing a stick up on Tuesday. And they totally snub their nose at the criminal justice system. And they are violent. They are dangerous. Some of them are dealing with real mental health issues. But don't be fooled that some of these folks are cold-blooded killers.
Okay. So that, again, was New York City Mayor Eric Adams. And the first person that you heard there was outgoing Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who earlier this year lost her primary because even the Associated Press mentioned she battled criticism for an increase of crime and other things going on during her time in office. But of all times, as she's nearing the end of her term in office, she has gotten tough on fighting crime and backing cops, which is why people like Geraldo go on Fox News and say things like, where have you been? Clip six.
That Lori Lightfoot soundbite you played was shocking to me, yeah. Martha, because she has been so carefully progressive in her city, progressive with heavy quotes around it, not daring to challenge the criminal element, not daring to say you have to follow the rules, that you need strong policing. Where was that person during her tenure as mayor of Chicago? I loved what she said. I would love that. I would, if she had been that person, I would have gone all out to support her. Eric Adams, I think, has been consistent, the mayor here in New York, the former police captain.
Absolutely.
He believes in law and order. He is absolutely frustrated, as Lori Lightfoot has come to be, with the revolving door. It's not even a revolving door. It's an in-out. It's the same door.
Steve, I would have to say that reality is catching up quickly, even to political, long-term political practitioners, talking about governors, mayors. It doesn't seem to be catching on with a lot of these district attorneys, though, who have, many of them have been elected using money from George Soros and his, I think it's his Open Foundation, Open Society Foundation.
Yeah.
So the prosecutors and the judges are the ones who need to catch on. Lori Lightfoot, I'm not shocked that she has come to understand the reality of the situation. Eric Adams, the same way. And my own personal opinion, I'm not sure I could prove this without doing the research, but having read a lot, it seems to me that if you just arrested and prosecuted and put away the people who have been committing crimes, you don't let them out with a long rap sheet, they're just going to stay in prison, the crime in these big cities would dry up. That's my perspective.
I don't know why you would need a study.
Because
a large percentage of the crimes, as Mayor Lightfoot and Adams were saying, are committed by people who were in custody and then a day later were let go.
So. Some of them were already charged with other crimes,
right,
and long rap sheets.
Right. So we're seeing reality is a very tough taskmaster. It doesn't bend. And for Lori Lightfoot, I think Geraldo is exactly right. She was silent on this issue really while she was in office. And Eric Adams has been kind of speaking about it, him being a former police officer, although he hasn't been convincing enough yet to turn the problem around in New York City.
All right, let me ask you guys, start with you, Chris, and then come back to you, Steve. So I think Steve raises an excellent point about Lori Lightfoot. Eric Adams, to the credit of Geraldo, and it was a Martha McCallum, I forget who he was talking to.
It was.
to Eric Adams' credit, he has been talking about trying to be tough on crime. I'm not sure that he's always followed through. But here's the question. If we are now seeing some of these big city mayors change their tune, why, to Geraldo's point, why are they just now getting here? Okay, do you think that this is all due to the fallout of George Floyd and what happened there, where it would be politically suicidal if you're on the left, if you're a Democrat, if you're on the quote-unquote progressive side of politics, it would have been politically suicidal to stick with a law and order perspective and political stance in the wake of George Floyd and the COVID riots in the 2020 summer. Do you think that's why they were all silent? Just asking for y'all's opinion.
I would say yes. I think part of the reason why they made those comments last week is, number one, they were in Washington, D.C. to talk to members of the federal government about money. So that way we, the people, spend our tax dollars in places like D.C. and Chicago, where crime is rampant. So I think they pick and choose when they want to appear big and bold. You know, Democrats are going into an election year, and they want to make it appear as though they do care about families and fighting crime and helping cops, except when they don't.
Well, I mean, that's an excellent point, Steve. I would also toss in, even though they're in D.C., these inner cities, these big cities are suffering from an exodus of Walmart and CVS and industry, big shopping centers. They're losing not only a tax base, but the process by which people buy food. That's politically dangerous if you want to run for re-election.
I agree with what you're saying, Ed and Chris. I don't lose sight of this fact. A lot of people are convinced that the goal, the ultimate goal of what you see with the progressive soft on crime stuff, even throw in all the gender confusion stuff that we're going through and all this social upheaval, is not an unintended consequence. It's intended in order to throw this country into such a pit that only the socialists can come and save us. Obviously, capitalism hasn't done its job. And
right.
So in the background of my mind, that's always kind of the bell that's going off. Whenever you see any of these social things that just don't make logical sense, don't forget about the ultimate, perhaps, goal. I don't know.
Well, and that's what I think about people like George Soros and this open society.
Sure.
That their intent is to deconstruct what we have so, in their minds, they can build back better, okay, to take the political kind of standby slogan of the Biden administration. Well, there's several theories kind of being tossed out there. We'll just have to wait and see. It may be a combination of all those things. But I do agree, and I appreciate you bringing that up. Behind everything, I don't trust the George Soroses for good reason. I don't think that they like this country. I don't think they love the Constitution. I think they hate the Constitution. They hate our founders. They hate everything about this country and want to overturn it. And so then you throw in these other reasons that are probably playing a part as well. All right. What else you got, Chris?
Let's mention this before I forget to bring it up. We're still following the case of Colorado cake artist Jack Phillips. And I say the case because he's still in court over his decision to decline a request to make a so-called transgender reveal cake. Many years ago, a man identifying as a woman approached Jack Phillips and requested several cakes. One of them was like Satan smoking marijuana, to which Phillips said, no, thank you. I'm not doing that. But also this person whose last name is Scardina also wanted Jack Phillips to design a transgender reveal cake. So, you know, pink or blue to pink. OK, because this man identifies as a woman. And Jack Phillips saying, no, I can't do that. I'm a Christian and I don't believe in that. And he declined. And like many people have done over the years, as if Jack Phillips is the only baker in the state of Colorado.
Right.
This attorney took Jack Phillips to court. And so far, a district court has ruled in favor of the transgender person, as well as a Colorado appeals court. And so now Jack's attorneys at Alliance Defending Freedom have filed a petition at the Colorado Supreme Court, hoping they will take up this case, rule in Jack's favor, and put an end to this harassment that people are putting Jack Phillips through. I've got a bit of audio here. Can I play a clip, Brent? Okay. Can we do clip 12?
The Colorado Supreme Court should make clear that no American should be forced to promote messages that go against their deeply held beliefs. Cake artist Jack Phillips has been advocating for this for over 10 years now. And protection for him would mean protection for all artists, and including those who disagree with him on marriage and gender and other of life's great debates right now. So a win for Jack here would be a win for all Americans, and we need the Colorado Supreme Court to provide good clarity about this.
That was Jake Warner, an attorney at Alliance Defending Freedom, which again is representing Jack Phillips in this cake situation.
Well, it's clear that Jack Phillips has become a target from the sexual and gender radicals. And this guy, I got to tell you, this guy has been a champion. He is immovable in his Christian beliefs and has fought battle after battle, gone to the Supreme Court. And then the day the Supreme Court, I believe the day the Supreme Court ruled in his favor, this transgender guy filed another lawsuit. So anyway, we'll continue to follow that that story regarding Jack Phillips. All right. Fred Jackson has come in and has some rather disturbing breaking news.
Well, just getting this in the last 30 seconds or so, and I wanted to come in and we'll flesh this out as the day goes on. But the Daily Caller apparently has a story this morning that Fox News and Tucker Carlson had parted ways. And I'm not sure of the details, the whys of this. I mean, if this is true.
Washington Post is confirming it now, too.
And the Washington Post is now confirming it. It is hard to believe that perhaps the most popular host of Fox News, a guy who is broken news, who seems to, you know, lead everybody else, even in conservative circles, they parted ways. I don't know the whys behind this yet. We'll work on this story, but I thought you guys want to know that Tucker Carlson, the way it was put this morning that Tucker Carlson was basically fired. I'm just bringing it up here. Fox News announced Monday that it is parting ways with Daily Caller co-founder and Fox News host Tucker Carlson. They've agreed to part ways, according to this statement from Fox. We thank him for his service to the network as a host and prior to that as a contributor. That's what we know at this point.
Well, I'll throw it open to all of us. Fred Jackson is the voice you just heard, who has come in with this bit of breaking news. Chris Woodward and Steve Jordahl as well. Hey, thank you, Fred. Appreciate it. So I tell you what, it makes a huge difference. Steve, we'll start with you. It makes a huge difference whether or not Tucker was fired. If he had editorial disagreements with Fox and said, well, then I quit, that's bad enough for Fox, okay, because Tucker Carlson has gone where no one has dared to go before, and I love Tucker Carlson on his take on things. He has been incredibly popular.
Yeah.
I think he's the number one program on Fox.
Yeah.
So it's bad enough if he was in constant conflict with the powers to be at Fox, but if they fired him. Steve, you have something to add to this?
Well, CNBC says Tucker Carlson leaves Fox News in wake of Dominion defamation lawsuit. That was the headline they ran with. Tucker Carlson leaves Fox. Now, CNN says Tucker Carlson out at Fox News. But it looks like Fox has issued a statement saying, quote, Fox News Media and Tucker Carlson have agreed to part ways. We thank him for his service to the network as a host and prior to that as a contributor. I have shared that link on our Today's Issues Facebook page.
All right. Steve, what are your thoughts?
I don't know that you're going to get the true backstory from either Fox or probably nobody has it. But so the Dominion thing is this. during the 2020 elections, which President Trump contested very strongly, and a lot of people still have very serious questions about whether it was a legitimate election. One of the things that they said might have gone wrong were the voting machines that were put in place that were created by Dominion voting systems. And so there's a lot of people that said, well, maybe they can be hacked. Well, maybe they're not accurate, or maybe they're biased. It's been written into the code or whatever. Well, a court found that none of that was true. And then they went after Fox, and they're going after other people for libel. And they won a huge settlement against Fox. Add to that
$787 million.
Right. Add to that they, during discovery of this trial, they found that a lot of the Fox hosts, including Tucker, were saying something differently behind the scenes than they were on air. Reading the room, as it were, they were,
right.
I am still trying to process what this might do to Fox News. It's a huge, huge blow to Fox News. So I don't know why they would, at this point, let him go unless, it wouldn't be just because of what he's saying on the air. Unless he won't let go of the Dominion thing, it has to be, in my mind, until we know more, it has to be a mutual, he just got tired or for some reason they agreed to let him go. But to force him out, their most popular talk host? That makes sense to me.
Again, we're talking about the breaking news that Tucker Carlson has, this is the way it's being described, has parted ways with Fox News.
His last show was Friday.
So this happened over the weekend. There was no apparent hint on Friday that this was coming. Tucker Carlson has parted ways with Fox News. That's the way the network itself has put it. To Steve's point, we may never get to the bottom of it simply because whatever severance package Tucker Carlson was probably given probably requires him to sign a non-discrimination agreement, a non-disclosure agreement. So this is breaking. I'm looking at The Hill, for example. It's four paragraphs, and it says developing. So we will, I guess, maybe find out some more, Chris. But in any case, unless there is some failure on Tucker Carlson's part, some failure journalistically or morally or in any of those kinds of ways we put in that category that would have forced Fox's hand, all right, if it is somehow a disagreement about what Tucker Carlson covers every night or the stories he's focusing on, or if it is like retribution towards Tucker Carlson, that's a big problem for Fox News. Even if Carlson was tired of fighting with Fox News about what he's allowed to air and just quit, that's still problematic for Fox News. The only way Fox News doesn't suffer is if Carlson was somehow legally or morally in the wrong and had to be fired.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. I would not want to be working in the PR department at Fox News right now, number one, because you just lost $787 million, which, as crazy as it sounds, was a drop in the bucket compared to what they were being sued for.
Right, which is more than double.
Sure. So they now keep in mind, we're still getting details of the settlement, but more often than not, if not every time somebody settles, there's often wording in there that says we're not guilty.
Right.
They're basically paying money to get out.
When you settle, you say we're not admitting anything.
Right. So they paid a huge chunk of money to somebody last week, which, by the way, if you work at Dominion, I hope you remember to tithe because you just got millions of dollars. But they just paid this big check. And then you parted ways with the popular guy who has the best ratings of anybody in that time slot on your network. You need to do something now to go ahead and control the narrative, because your enemies, including CNN, are going to have a field day with this. And people are going to try to figure out what exactly went on with Tucker. They're going to truck them onto Newsmax or something, you know, try to get the real story. So Fox does need to put this fire out because it's about to turn into a dumpster fire for the PR department.
Let me ask you both again. Again, I'll come back to you first, Steve, and then back to you, Chris. So I don't want to read too much into this because we don't know the real reasons here. Again, we might not, going forward, find out why. And again, setting aside what I would consider a separate category, that if Tucker Carlson had done something illegal or immoral and was essentially fired, okay, put that in a separate category. Is there a danger that Fox News is going the way of CNN? Not that CNN was ever conservative, but it drifted further and further left. Sure. Do you think Fox is, I don't want to say going woke, that's because you still have Laura Ingraham, you know, there's still conservatives on Fox, all right? Do you think there's a danger that Fox is going, you know what, we don't want the Bill O'Reillys, and I know O'Reilly was a separate situation, that's more like that first category, allegedly, but they may, Tucker Carlson is too right-wing for us. Do you think there's a danger of them?
Let me add this to the pot, too. They just parted ways with Dan Bongino last week. Fox did.
Bongino's gone, too.
Now, he cited failed contract talks.
Yeah, it's an amicable parting, he said. They just couldn't agree to terms, he said. So
couldn't or wouldn't?
Whichever.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
no,
I'm
making
them. He said it's not. It was a mutual agreement and an amicable parting. We don't have that language here with Tucker. So the Murdoch family still owns Fox. However, the Murdoch son is now calling the cot. Rupert Murdoch is out and retired, and the son is there. And there have been rumors afoot that, he's not quite as conservative as his old man was. The fact that Fox is making money and beating its competition hand over fist for years, that's not even close, would mean that this was something that they would have to think really carefully about if they wanted to change. Your reference to CNN with the new ownership at CNN, what they've been saying they want to do is bring that network back to the middle,
yeah,
report news as unbiased as you can. Remember the days when CNN was the news source?
I remember.
Tuning in for the first Gulf War.
Blitzer became Wolf Blitzer.
Right. War. It's just fantastic network everywhere it was, but it's changed. So, it's a possibility that they're going that way. Something's changing at Fox, and they've got to shore the ship up because you cannot abandon the audience you have. It's so huge and it's so loyal.
To have $787 million and still be in the black?
Well, some of that's probably, they probably have insurance for when they get sued. Yeah, they did. What do you think, Chris, before we hit the break? Do you think there's a danger? Bongino's gone. Carlson's gone.
Yes, I do. I do think they're moving towards the left and have been for a while. When it comes to the transgender situation, they ride the fence. They bring on the ladies that say, I don't want to have to compete against the man.
Right.
But then they bring on Bruce Jenner, and they refer to him as she and her and Caitlin, all that stuff. And that has angered a lot of people on the center right that have looked to them for factually accurate information.
And all their written stories, they go with the preferred pronouns
they do
of the transgender
individual.
And
some of their radio people say things like assault weapons in their stories. So, I think they're drifting towards the left.
All right. Well, shocking news. Fred Jackson, AFN News Director, American Family News Director, came in just a few minutes ago and told us the breaking news is that Tucker Carlson is out at Fox News. We don't know why. We're going to continue to cover this as the news leaks out. It invariably does. All right. We're going to take a 5-minute break for news. And when we come back, more of today's issues. Hope you'll join us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.